Do you ever wonder if you're a true highly sensitive person? Because you love meaningful adventures or crave experiences that make you feel alive? It turns out that many HSPs are also high sensation seekers, which often feels like you're living with one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. But this isn't about chasing adrenaline. It's about seeking depth, richness, and significance. In today's conversation, my guest co-host, Pam Watts, and I dive into what it means to say a faith-based yes to opportunities that feel bigger than us. Pam pulls back the curtain on her current adventure, preparing to dance on stage for a cause she deeply values, and shares the very real tensions of excitement, discomfort, and determination. This episode will encourage you to look for your own faith-based yeses, whatever size they may be and wherever they may take you. Welcome to Grit and Grace, the podcast for highly sensitive Christian women. I'm your host, Sherry Gregory. Are you tired of the overthinking, overwhelm, and exhaustion that can come with being a highly sensitive person? Are you ready to stop worrying that something's wrong with you and start understanding and nurturing yourself as an HSP? Together, we'll build resilience, practice self-compassion, set healthy boundaries, unlock your creativity, and learn to embrace, not fight, your God-given sensitivity. Let's dig in. Hey friend, I'm so glad you could join me today. You know, when I first learned that being a highly sensitive person is a thing, there was one aspect to my personality that didn't seem to fit at all. In fact, I secretly worried that it disqualified me from being a true HSP. Here's what it is. I have always loved being on stage. Okay, quick rabbit trail. I love being on stage as long as I am performing in a drama or I am speaking. Being on stage attempting to play the piano was a complete disaster for 10 very long years of my life. And at some point, I will do a full episode on HSPs and something called musicians' performance anxiety, which finally explained those 10 very long years of my life. But back to today's episode. I've always loved being on stage. I love participating in theater. I was part of this amazing production of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol during my senior year of high school, still one of the best memories of my entire life. And I love standing beside a podium for speaking engagements, like at women's retreats, educational workshops, and writers' conferences. I used to think that my love of being on stage ran contrary to what it means to be a real HSP. But it turns out that roughly 30% of all highly sensitive persons are also high sensation seekers. Now, if you're a high sensation seeking HSP, you experience this sort of inner push and pull. You crave novelty, adventure, and new experiences, yet you're also wired to process deeply and avoid danger. Dr. Elaine Aron describes this as living with one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. High sensation seeking HSPs often feel their behavioral activation system, otherwise known as the BAS, kick in when they sense an opportunity. The BAS is the part of your brain that says, go explore, try something new. For a high sensation seeking HSP, this can look like travel, creative projects, new friends, and even adventurous sports. But unlike non-HSP thrill seekers, high sensation seeking HSPs usually pursue what researchers call safe novelty. In other words, we want the good stuff in life without the reckless risks. Now, as you can imagine, there are wonderful strengths in this combination. High sensation seeking HSPs tend to be curious and creative and resourceful. They can make risky activities safe, and they often bring depth and wisdom to new adventures. At the same time, this pairing comes with some real tensions. Many high sensation-seeking HSPs live right on the edge of overstimulation, craving newness, but quickly feeling overextended or overwhelmed. That's why hearing real stories from other high sensation-seeking HSPs can be so valuable. And today, my co-host, Pam Watts, shares how saying yes to unexpected adventures has stretched her, what she's learning about managing both sides of her wiring, and how courage and curiosity can coexist with high sensitivity. Pam Watts is the mother of four amazing children, three biological and one by international adoption. Or as she likes to say, three domestic and one imported. Pam serves on her local school board, where she spends 95% of her time doing things she loves alongside people she loves on behalf of the community she loves, and 5% of the time trying not to get stuck between a rock and a crazy place. Pam recently launched her new ministry, Faith First Family Activity Coaching, where she cheers on busy families with active kids from a faith-based perspective. And in her spare time, she loves getting to do cool things that make for fun stories, like the time she appeared on a Carnival cruise ship stage, or her latest adventure, which is what we're going to talk about today. Pam, welcome to Grit and Grace. So thrilled to have you with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Sherry. You got to know, after being such a huge fan of Grit and Grace for so long, being here is just a dream come true to me.
It is a thrill to have you here. We go way, way back, all the way back to the launch team of the very first book that Kathy and I wrote together. So you and I have lived some life, even though we aren't in the same geographic area. We have lived some life virtually together. And I am excited for you to share about a particular thing you are doing in your real life right now. In fact, this entire episode was inspired by a real life adventure that you're very much in the midst of living out. So I just want to invite you to tell us about it.
I am going to be a contestant on our local version of Dancing with the Stars as a fundraiser that supports our local family abuse center and helps in domestic violence. So I'm going to be on stage in costume with a partner in front of my community as someone who doesn't naturally dance, but wants to do something really fun on behalf of something that's really important. And boy, it is way out of my comfort zone, and it has been an epic adventure for sure.
Well, you and I have been talking back and forth about some of the things that you are learning, because this hasn't happened yet. And when this episode airs, it still won't have happened yet. So you're still very much in the preparation stage for it. So you've kind of come up with three things that have been important to you. You and I share a love for alliteration. And so they all three begin with R. The first R is receive. So talk to us about that.
Well, part of my story is this history of getting invited into doing these really cool opportunities. And something that you say that I quote you all the time is start small and keep showing up. So I feel like as a woman of faith, God invites me into opportunities where I have a chance to do this, and I say yes, and it's usually something small. And the more I say yes, the more those opportunities grow. And so there was sort of an evolution to this particular event. It did start small. As happens in just about everything in my life, there's always a bigger story behind the initial story that we're talking about. This actually started with Brent and I deciding to take dance lessons at our local dance studio to get ready for my son's wedding. And I shared with a friend and colleague, hey, we're doing this. And the reason I told her about this was because she had taken lessons at the same studio. She had been a contestant on Dancing with the Stars the year before. And I just thought she'd get a kick out of, hey, we're going to go start working at this studio that I know was part of your story. And the next thing I know, she's calling me to say, hey, Pam, do you want to do this? Because I think you'd be great at it. So there was a very clear, direct personal invitation, but it started with me sharing something small that I had done, and she got inspired to invite me into something bigger.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, one of the things that we know that HSPs can struggle a little tiny bit with is perfectionism, because we have this deep reflective nature. How did you have to do maybe a little bit of wrestling with perfectionism at this early stage of receiving an invitation?
When I get invited into something where I don't know what I don't know, and I know I'm going to more than likely stumble my way into it for a bit. There are some components that just kind of reinforce my process when I'm making a big decision. And one of those is to have this sense of people behind me rooting for me and sending me out and knowing that this is going to be something that I do in community, as in I'm not stepping out by myself. And the only first thing I did, we were able to start small, even in this particular adventure. All I had to do at the front end was agree to do it. And then it unfolded, and the people who put this whole thing together really shepherded me forward so that even as I was taking little steps into the whole adventure, I had people who were experienced helping me do it.
So it sounds like part of this whole receive step or stage is to hear the adventure that you're being invited into and then saying yes to whatever might be next. Like you said, you may not know what you don't know yet.
Well, and as part of that, when my friend reached out to me, I think she texted me, and then we got on the phone and we had some pretty substantive conversation. And then, as I typically do, I reached out, well, discussed it with my husband, always going to do that, reached out to my life group and ran it by, the people that I consult. In many advisors, there is wise counsel. So when it's something this unknown and a little bit risky and uncomfortable, I do vet it by the people that I count on to speak wisdom into my life. I always do that. Ask God, ask significant others, ask for details. I really did all of those things.
Before you said yes, or in the process of saying that initial yes, what were some of the immediate emotions that came up for you?
Well, I'm a theater girl. I'm a choir girl. So the opportunity to get on stage was really exciting. I love to do big performative things. That really is kind of my happy place. That's something that my family and I just truly enjoy. So the thought of it in theory was really exciting. And I love my community, and I'm great, blessed to have a very supportive community. And the opportunity to get in front of them and, have people that I care about cheer for me, quite a bit. That was really exciting.
Okay, so your first thought was this positive emotion. Was there any zing of hesitation or, any kind of fear response or anxiety response? Did any of that show up early on?
I don't know that I remember feeling anxious. I do know that I had some reservations that I had to ask questions about because one of the components of this is when you commit to be part of this fundraiser, you commit to secure a certain dollar amount that you raise. And so this was something my husband and I agreed we had to step out into because it's not an insignificant amount. But I've also done fundraising and I'm also fairly well networked and I don't mind asking people for money. So I recognized there was a piece of this that was going to be challenging, but I don't know that it made me feel anxious at that moment. I'm wholly anxious about it right now. I wasn't 6 months ago.
Okay, love your honesty. So we're going to move on to the kind of the next stage of this whole process. You are a member of the Sensitive and Strong Community Cafe, and you've contributed to many conversations about how preparation keeps us from getting overstimulated and overwhelmed as HSPs. We've had conversations about travel and weddings and other things like that where preparing can be so important. What I would love for you to talk to us about is what you've learned about getting ready, and ready is the second R, getting ready for this particular adventure.
Well, early on in the process, the event leaders of this fundraiser got us all together and gave us all kinds of information. So I recognized very early on, this is not a new opportunity. There are people in charge who are experienced and knowledgeable who have been doing this for a while. And so there are very well-structured pieces. They have a timeline. They have forms that you can use. They have suggestions. I mean, we're on a group meet. There's lots and lots of communication. I have a specific support team that I can text at a moment's notice and say, hey, I need help with. So I went into it knowing that there was a well-structured process and a well-integrated support system. The other thing is that I don't want to overlook was that when my husband and I took that very first dance lesson, our instructor was this lovely young man who, as it happens, graduated high school with my son. And that's who I ended up being paired with as my show partner. So the person that I'm going to rely on the most was someone that I already had a little bit of personal experience with him. And I gotta say, he's delightful. He's just adorable.
Okay, so it sounds like that personal connection is a through thread here. You had the personal invitation from a friend. As part of the receiving this invitation and as part of getting ready, your partner is somebody you already knew. Now, one thing some of us HSPs can tend to do is unending research. Like I'll just confess, I am one of those people who will research and research and research, and I would almost, you know, the whole saying, ready, aim, fire. I tend to be ready, 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 ready. And the whole aim and fire, I can get myself so caught up into the preparing that the action never takes place. Unending research can replace action for us. And you and I have talked about doing enough research that releases you to take action. So can you give us some practical ideas of what that's looked like for you?
In that getting ready season where I could have done analysis paralysis, I had other things going on. So I didn't have the quote luxury of really stewing over this in between when I got invited, when we had our meet and greet and I started to learn what this was going to be about. My son got married. I launched a new website and a new ministry. I was in a different headspace. So I wasn't focusing on this full tilt. I just didn't have the energy to think this to death. The preparation that I needed to do to make this work was to practice the dance. Mm-hmm. So focusing my getting ready on the part of the getting ready that mattered the most. I focused my preparation energy, I think, where it would do the most good. Because at the end of the day, I want to get on that stage and not fall on my face.
Very admirable goal. And many HSPs that I work with, especially in the writing coaching, they feel like they need to know everything before they can begin. What would you say is your take on that? Because I don't think you would have done most of the things that you've done in your life that are adventuresome if you thought you needed to know everything before you even began.
Coming into today, I recalled a quote that says the world was made round so that we would not see too far down the road. There's an advantage in not knowing what's at the end of the road. I went around the world to bring my daughter home from China. Our adoption story was another epic adventure, and it was a long process unfolding. And there were so many moving parts to that and so many challenges in that I'm really grateful that I knew as much as I knew to do the next thing. I knew as much as I knew to get all the paperwork together. I knew as much as I knew to make my travel reservations. I'm thankful that I did not know ahead of time all the other uncomfortable things that were going to be coming ahead. Matthew 6:34 in the Message says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Thinking about what's next just adds to the overwhelm and increases my risk of shutdown. I got to focus on what's in front of me.
Well, we've made a big promise with the title of this episode. We've titled it Adventure Not Overwhelm. So we talked about receiving the invitation, about getting ready. And now let's talk about resolve. What happens when overwhelm starts looming when you've said yes to a grand adventure?
I've started to really frame that as what I call pushing through discomfort. I'm living in that space right now. And the most concrete example I can think of is the dress, my costume. I am doing a number from Hamilton, the room where it happens, and my costume is Eliza Hamilton. So I found this lovely costume on Amazon and I showed it to people and everyone said, it's perfect. Then I ordered it. Then I started learning the choreography and I realized we're going to do some Lindy Hop and some other footwork where a floor length skirt ain't going to work. Called a few seamstresses, went and got it hemmed, got it back and discovered that it needed further alterations so that my arms can move. It's fitted very tight. And I remember thinking all I wanted to do was call one person and go to one shop and get all my alterations done. Because this should not be that complicated, right?
Sure. Very reasonable.
Getting this doggone dress adjusted has been the most complicated part of this whole process.
Yeah.
And it's just a dress for one night. I've had to call multiple seamstresses. I've had to go to multiple shops. I've had to ask for advice. And it's finally in the hands of someone that's incredibly qualified to do it. And haven't gotten that far, I realized that getting finally to her, to this woman, was a divine appointment from the Lord, because we had some interaction that I never would have had but for meeting her. And that's what I'm trying to keep in front of me when I continue to hit these moments of discomfort. Oh, I wasn't expecting this to be complicated. I thought this was going to be easier. Keep staying resolved so that I keep pushing through, because the costume's got to fit. I mean, I got to keep going till it's done. I got to keep fundraising so that I honor my commitment. I can't quit now. I keep pushing forward because on the other side is the reason that I'm doing this in the first place. But you know, it's been the little foxes steal the grapes. It's been these little nitpicky things. And here's one thing that almost derailed me. I found out that a friend of mine that I would have loved to come support me had already bought her ticket from someone who's done this before and knows to ask her people early. Well, I'm asking my people when I'm asking my people. And as I'm doing that, the comparison train has just taken off. Well, everybody's farther along in this than I am. Well, you know what? Probably not. There's certainly some that are ahead, some that are behind, and some that are right where I am. And just this morning, I thought I can frame this as I'm only halfway through to my goal, or hey, we're 5 weeks out and I'm already halfway to my goal.
Excellent. Yes.
But yesterday was the day I decided I'm going to text all of my people. And I got through my address list all the way to S.
Okay.
And a friend of mine replied and said, Pam, the link you gave me is not working. And it was a text transposition. Like I had moved the content from this device to another and the link just got broken. And I had to go back to all of those people and say, don't you hate when? I'm so sorry. The links that I sent you were wrong. Here are the right ones. And like, it was mortifying. Like, can't this just be simple? Can't I just send out my text? Now I have to go back and correct something I didn't even know I made a mistake in. But I found out about it the same day. And I was able to fix it that same afternoon. And, you know, I did only all get through to S. I mean, I didn't send it to everybody and then go away for a few days, not knowing that nobody could participate because I'd given them faulty information. So that was excruciatingly uncomfortable, but like, okay, that's just one more of those moments. It's just part of it. Sweep it up, move on. We're going to keep going forward.
Appreciate you bringing up discomfort. This is a very real issue for those of us who have finely tuned nervous systems and we feel all of this. There's a quote from Andy Kolber. She talks about how we can do hard things, but we want to avoid things that harm us. And what I hear you recognizing is that you can do these things that cause discomfort that are hard, but it doesn't sound like they are actually doing harm to you. So as we wrap up this episode, and I say this episode because I cannot wait to have you come back after you've been on Dancing with the Stars so you can share with us what that experience is actually like. What keeps you going right now? What is keeping you going? You've pushed through the discomfort of the things you knew were going to take work. And then all these other things like the dress, what keeps you pushing through?
The way I have framed it as I'm sharing this with my people and inviting them to participate, this is an incredible opportunity to do something fun in service of something good. Dancing on stage is going to be glorious and fun and exciting. But on the other side of this is something that's truly significant and sacred. The point of this is helping in domestic violence. I had shared with you the story of touring the Family Abuse Center, and that is the cause that this is going to benefit. And seeing those wreaths in the boardroom that bear the names of every person in Texas who dies each year as a result of domestic violence. at the other side of all of this stuff, the alterations and the text messages and the dance rehearsals, is a chance to be a part of something that's truly meaningful. Everything that we've discussed is another dance step, if you will, towards something that matters, that's truly profound. In fact, I just had this discussion yesterday with the alterations lady, and that's why that particular appointment was a holy moment, because she and I are talking about the logistics of altering this dress and how frustrating that is. And all of a sudden I went, I'm just trying to alter a dress. And the whole point of that is to support women who may have to leave the house with one dress and that's all I have. That's the point. I get to do something that's going to, you know, be impactful for me for one night. But the ripple effect and the impact this cause can make is so much bigger than me. And so those little discomforts become just that. And I mean, it's annoying for me. I don't mean to minimize the fact that these things as an HSP are really uncomfortable. But I'm pushing through because I'm trying to be a part of something that impacts something that's really painful. It's just bigger than me. That's the only way I know how to sum it up. It's not about me. This is not just sensation seeking. It's not thrill seeking. This is significance seeking. Because really, that's the point. And when you said sensation seeking, I'm like, well, I'm not base jumping. I'm not hopping out of airplanes. I'm pushing through things that are risky and unknown and uncomfortable, because on the other side of that is something that's a core value to me.
For those of us who are high sensation-seeking HSPs, our adventures aren't about achievement. They're about alignment. They're about saying a faith-based yes to an experience that aligns with our core values, even if this experience does push us outside of our comfort zone. Which helps me understand why I've always loved theater and speaking. They fully align with two of my core values, connection and collaboration. Well, speaking of connection and collaboration, you are welcome to connect with Pam and collaborate with her in her current adventure. You'll find all the relevant links in the show notes or at sherrygregory.com/episode298. Thank you for listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast for highly sensitive Christian women. I hope this episode leaves you feeling encouraged, equipped to thrive, and excited to say your own faith-based yeses. Be sure to follow in your favorite podcast app. And if you leave a quick rating, I will imagine it as a standing ovation, minus all the noise. Now, if you're brand new to the whole HSP concept, come take the Am I a Highly Sensitive Person quiz. You'll find that link in the show notes. And remember, God created you sensitive. In Christ, you are always strong. Had you in the past watched things like Dancing on the Stars and thought, gee, if I ever get a chance, I would totally do that?
Not that specific performance, but I will tell you, years ago, I was at a Woman of Faith conference and I saw Patsy Claremont and Sheila Walsh and said, someday that's what I want to do. I want to be the woman in front of 10,000 women sharing something meaningful. I totally want to do that. Being in front of people, I don't know why I love that so much, but I really, really do.
We don't have to know. We do not have to know that at all. Maybe you're like Pam. You dream of doing something meaningful, perhaps on a stage, perhaps in writing, perhaps behind a podcasting microphone. But the path from where you are right now to where you want to be looks so daunting. That's exactly what my Right Beside You Unlimited Coaching Program is designed for. Together, we'll move from overwhelm to alignment so you can step into your own faith-based yes with courage and clarity. You can find all the details at sherrygregory.com/right. That's WRITE. And of course, the link is also in the show notes.